Hi, I'm Jessica Schiller Silverman, and I want to warmly welcome you to the Alive podcast, where wellness and business come to life. I stepped away from a six-figure career in venture capital in San Francisco to start my own venture, all inspired initially from a podcast. Learn how in this powerful show full of golden nuggets that will help you learn how you can come alive in your creative prowess while creating financial and energetic flow. Each episode will uncover my secrets to debunking the starving artist myth. Come on, enjoy the ride and come alive with me. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of the Alive podcast. Today, I am honored to be in conversation with Destiny Wong. Destiny Wong is a healer and intuitive. While she is trained in both the Usui and Karuna Reiki lineages and incorporates Reiki in her healing work, her healing sessions mostly consist of shamanic techniques and energy techniques that she's created or learned from her guides. Her focus is always on healing all parts of the person, not just the physical body, but rather the emotional body, the spiritual body, and the pain body. Destiny's goal is to help remind her clients how to connect to their own inner knowing and trust it. She often includes inner child work as well as shadow work and intuitive development. Her big reason for being here is helping others learn to connect to their own intuition and spirit guides. She lives with her husband and two daughters in Southern California. And while she's not doing her spiritual work, she enjoys yoga, painting, hiking, and gardening. Welcome to the Alive Podcast, Destiny. It is an honor.
Thank you so much, Jessica, for that beautiful intro. And thank you for having me. I'm so excited we get to talk today.
Yeah, of course. So let's start with the first question that I ask all of my guests. I know a bit about you, but I'm sure our listeners don't. Who is Destiny Wong?
Oh, such a good question and hard because like, how do we put into words like an essence, right? A soul essence into words. So let me try. So I am a mom of two girls and a wife and a healer, energy worker, student of shamanism. I love helping people with their healing practice and their inner work and learning how to connect to spirit, God, universe, whatever you want to call it. I love helping women with that practice. Like you said, I'm a big nature lover. You can find me in all of my spare time outside, kayaking, hiking, walking my dog, gardening, whatever I can do outside is that's my happy place. So I think that's me in a nutshell.
That is so beautiful. And you're a woman after my own heart. Nature is my happy place too. And in fact, before this conversation, I have a really busy day, but I'm like, I have to get some time outside. It's really beautiful. The sun is shining. It's actually warm. It's been a little bit cooler, but it warmed up. So I spent like 20 minutes just soaking in the sun, putting my feet in the grass. Like, to me, there is nothing more healing than that connection with the earth, especially first thing in the morning,
so
the way
agree.
To start and set the intention.
Like recharging your batteries.
Exactly. Right. Just like we plug in our cell phone, we have to plug ourselves back in as well. So
exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So you must be an earth sign. Astrological.
You know, what's really funny is I have very little earth placement in my chart.
Interesting.
I know. I'm a Cancer sun, Libra rising, Aries moon. And not much earth. I think I have one Taurus placement.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
I think it's because I have so little earth in my chart that I need to ground to it so that it can kind of break me down, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's typically, there's our dominant signs, but then there's the sign that we're lacking. And that sort of brings us back into equilibrium. So that also makes complete sense.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So when did you feel like the work you do is very spiritual, it's very esoteric, it's very otherworldly, other realm. When did you know that there was more to life? Like, when did you know that there was this other existence that we could dabble in and play in and channel to be our higher selves?
You know, I think I knew as a child. I remember speaking with other beings. I didn't really know who they were at the time, but you know, that relationship and those experiences weren't fostered for me. So I ended up kind of shutting it off and was kind of a skeptic and non-believer for a really long time. Until I had this one experience right after my youngest daughter was born. So I guess 7 years ago. And then I started believing again.
That's really beautiful. So after your youngest was born 7 years ago, you started believing again. Was it something specific? Was it just kind of one of those?
Oh, you're going to have me tell the whole story. It's quite the story.
Whatever you feel comfortable.
Yeah, no. I'm happy to tell it. It's just, it's a story. It still surprises me sometimes how it happened. So like I said, I was a little bit of a skeptic and I had this friend who I dearly loved and trusted. And one day she invited me to a Meet Your Angels workshop. And I said, okay, sure. I really didn't know what to expect. At the time, I really couldn't say that I believed in angels or that kind of thing. But I trusted this friend and I felt guided to go. So I went, and it was led by a hypnotherapist. And so she brought us into hypnosis and she, you know, laid out all the things and how we would, you know, experience it and go in and all of that. And when I got in, I saw everything and everyone. I saw all of my angels, all of my guides. I just had the most magnificent experience. And it was so real. It was almost tangible to me. It was so vivid and bright that I knew that there was no way that I could have made that up. There's just no way. And so I ended up telling the leader afterwards about my experience. And she kind of was like, you know what, let's talk more, you know, let's have a session, let's explore this a little bit. And she kind of fostered that for me at first of what even the heck was going on, because I really didn't know. And so she was the first one to kind of explain psychic senses and all of the stuff. And she hooked me up with the right people to get some training and to figure it all out, basically. But that was my first experience as an adult that kind of opened my eyes, my spiritual eyes anyway, into figuring out, you know, what this world is all about.
That is beautiful. So how did that lead you to the path of shamanism and the energy work that you do today?
Oh yeah. Good question. So when I was very new at all of this, I took a lot of training and I specifically studied, psychic development and how to open up those kind of spiritual psychic clairs. And I practiced, mediumship and I did psychic readings for people and intuitive readings for a long time. And it always felt good. I was good at it. I liked it. I had a great relationship with my clients and I enjoyed it, but it still kind of felt like there was maybe a little something missing and I wasn't sure what it was, you know? But then I started learning Reiki. Mm-hmm. And so Reiki is a healing modality from Japan. And it's a really great kind of like first starter, like to experience working with energy and stuff like that. And then that felt really good to me. I enjoyed it a lot. So then I started doing Reiki healing sessions and it lit me up for a while. And then I started having that same, like, there's something else, you know, it wasn't quite it. So, it took a while, but at one point, I met a woman that introduced me to shamanism. And so I started studying, diving deep into shamanism. And that was it for me. That was it. I was in love and I have been practicing it ever since. And it's cool. I'm glad it went that way in that order, because now I get to use all of those things I learned in my sessions. It's not just one thing. I can't say I'm just a Reiki practitioner. I'm just a, you know, shamanic practitioner. I use all of it and I love using all of it, but now it feels more like a complete package and not like there's a missing link, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's sort of come full circle for you, that full circle moment where you use a bit of everything and it just kind of creates this unique signature, right? Your shamanic signature, let's call it.
Exactly. Oh, I like that. Yeah,
that's perfect. Yeah, it just sort of came through me in the moment. So yeah. I love you telling us your journey experience, right? Your own personal, and then you recently led the sisterhood in a shamanic journey experience, which I had my own sort of, right, connection to the angels and the spirit guides. And, you know, I've been a believer for many years, but there's a time when I didn't really understand all of this. Like for me, I remember going to my first yoga class. It used to be, it was called Yoga for Stress, probably about 20 years ago when I was really early on in my corporate career. And I remember the end, Shavasana and chanting Om. And I was like, this is cultish. You know, what is this? But she read a passage from, I think it was The Spontaneous Fulfillment of Desire. It was one of Deepak Chopra's books or The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. I'm not sure which one, but it was like something moved inside of me just hearing that passage. And it was like, that was the portal to like, what else is out there? Like this life I've been living, where I work a 9 to 5 or nine to midnight at certain points of my life. And I'm like, there's something bigger, right, than all of this. Mm-hmm. And you led it for us in the sisterhood. But let's say there's someone listening that maybe had that initial experience. They read a passage in a book, or even just they hear the word shamanism or Reiki or energy work, and they're super curious, but they're not even sure what to look for. I know you mentioned the clairs, which maybe explain that a little bit to someone listening that doesn't know what that is. Where does one begin? How do you begin with your clients, the work that you do?
Such a good question. I love that. I will break down the clairs because I feel like that is pretty important as well. So there's four main ones. There's lots of other sub important ones, but the main ones are clairaudience, so clear hearing, clairvoyance, clear sight. Let's see, there's clear knowing, so clear cognizance, and clear sentience, which is clear feeling. So all of these clairs, we have all of them. All of us have all of them. Okay. But some of them are more dominant than others. Some need to be cultivated or woken up more. And ultimately, eventually, you'll work with all of them. Okay. But that is actually a great jumping off point, is to kind of explore what those are, how to develop them, how to use them, because then that kind of opens that part of you up. I say it opens up the crown chakra, it opens up that kind of center channel so that more divine energy can come through you. So you'll begin to trust your inner knowing. And you trust the information that you're given to you by your guides and your team. And you'll, you know, be able to see the signs. Maybe you're seeing feathers, or you're seeing numbers in sequence, 111 or 333, or, you know, you're getting this information from your team and you're starting to trust it. That's step number one. That's the most important thing. And that was something I struggled with big time when I was first learning about all of this, because I think all of us to a certain extent, but me especially, my upbringing was to kind of shove that down. Like, no, you don't trust yourself. You trust your parents, or you trust your teacher or the doctor, whoever it was.
Yes.
That was our conditioning, right?
Yeah.
That was how to be a good girl. Right. Like we didn't break that, you know? So there's a lot of unlearning that goes with this, as well as the deconditioning or the unprogramming, to let all that go so that you can reprogram yourself to what you do want, who you do want to be, if that all makes sense. Kind of going off on a tangent on that, but I would definitely start with the clairs. That's a great starting point. Oops, sorry. I had a little notification pop up. Okay. And then from there, then I would say it's inner work time, if you haven't gone there already. And I say this with so much love and so much compassion in my heart, that many of us haven't started it yet. And it can feel scary, right? It can feel overwhelming. Like, I don't want to look at the skeletons in the closet, but I really find once I started looking at it for myself, it wasn't as scary as I thought it would be. My clients report back the same thing, saying, oh, I wish I would have done that sooner. It wasn't as big of a deal as I was thinking it would be. get someone to hold your hand with this, find a healer, find a shamanic practitioner, find a coach, find someone you trust that can hold your hand and guide you through it. That feels super supportive and helpful when you're going through it, because it can feel dark and scary when you're going it alone, but it can be done. So get that inner work piece out. And the reason I say this, there's a moral to this whole story, is you start with the clairs, you start opening up those psychic centers, you move on to the inner work, dealing with your shadow, dealing with your inner child. Once you get a lot of that worked out, I mean, it's never truly done, right? We keep doing it, but a big, huge chunk is worked away. You can come back to these clairs and they'll be even more open because there's less stuff in the way, mm-hmm. right? You get kind of cleared out. So get that inner work done. And then I would say after that, it's really, you get to follow the breadcrumb trail. Mm-hmm. What lights you up? What feels really, really good? Does Reiki sound fun? Does, you know, psychic readings sound fun? Does shamanism sound fun? Like, what is it that makes you feel excited when you hear the word or when you start learning more about it? So that would kind of be the sequence of my suggestion. Does that all make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. I'm taking a lot of notes because that was really beautiful. And I want to repeat that back because this is really beautiful advice for anyone listening that wants to dabble in the divine, really learn this work, learn how to connect to our spirit guides. And like you said, really learning how to trust ourselves and our intuition and our inner knowing. And I love how you started this conversation, and maybe we can go there. There's so many directions we can go from all of this goodness, is to learn how to trust ourselves so we're not so dependent or reliant on what others tell us is the way, mm-hmm. right? What family mm-hmm. told us, conditioning, society, the doctor. That could be a whole nother conversation right. that you and I have, but I know you and I align very much in our values in that way. And mm-hmm. I have my own personal story with all of this and believing in all of those systems, right? Until they fail you. Right. And then it's time to learn there's more to life. Maybe I have that power within me to channel, right, all of these messages. And yes, some of the value from the outside world can be very valuable. To me, I think it's a blend of both, but to lead with our intuition first, to lead with our own inner knowing and let that guidance show the way to what we need from the outside world to then bring it back in. And then there's that beautiful, right, balance of dabbling in and dabbling out, right? And knowing the difference between those that are truly working for a higher self and those other energies that may not be, and really how to have discernment, right? Between the two.
Yeah. So true. And so well said. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So I just want to repeat this because this was all really beautiful. You mentioned the four clairs. So clairaudient, clairvoyant, claircognizant, clairsentient. There are a lot more clairs. But clairaudient is the hearing. And this is a lot of what I use with my clients too, that they're like, well, how do I know? Like, let's say they'll pull tarot cards and like, how do I know that like this message is for me? Or like, I got this card, but like, I'm not feeling it or I'm not seeing it. Or like you said, I'm scared of the dark cards or that shadow message. And I don't think that's for me, right? We tend to kind of block it out because we don't want to see it. But I love how you said the more we see that shadow side or what the inner child needs, right? Both of those, it's really not that scary, right? When we open the door and we see the skeletons and we face them for what they are, a lot of times it's just the thoughts, right? And the fears that we conceive of what is going to happen when we face that. That's really where the fear lies versus the actual facing of it. I think it was, forget the name of the author. It's one of my favorite books. But she says, when you face the lion, it becomes a cat. Florence Scovel Shinn. That's what I meant to say. And I never forgot that, because there was a point in my life that was very dark night of the soul. And I was really just so afraid. I mean, my root chakra, like everything was all, you know, I didn't even feel safe, right? Which is where it all begins. Yeah. And so that mantra to me reminded me, you know, when you face the lion, it becomes a cat.
Yes. Yeah. And it becomes an ally after you work with it. Like that, I've had so many people who were afraid of their shadow, and now it is a part of their team. it's on their side, supporting them, working together. Same with the inner child. So it's powerful alchemy, and I highly recommend it.
Yes. That's really beautiful. So first you said seeing the messages, hearing them, feeling them, intuiting them, and trusting it. And I love how you said breaking that sort of good girl, right? Mentality, right? Like following the formula and following the system. And anyone who listens to the show, you probably don't, because you like listening to me, and I'm totally all about breaking the status quo, or questioning the status quo. Really not breaking it, but breaking the cycle of what has been programmed within us, and being defiant to have our own sort of inner set of values and that inner knowing and that inner feeling, and allowing that to take over the mind, because the mind can be very overpowerful. And that's why I love dabbling into all of these practices, because it reminds me that really my thoughts are not my thoughts, which we know that they're not our thoughts, but sometimes how do we rise above that? And even trauma, how do we rise? How do we find freedom from all of that? And to me, all of this work has been the most healing than any physical practices, any, diagnosis or anything. It's like connecting to the divine and having the divine be my greatest healer has been more healing than anything. So I think having the ability to know how to do this
is huge.
I mean, and so many people don't know this. I mean, it's not information that is well available, in the outside world or on the internet. So bless you for the work that you do, for bringing this to the world.
Well, really, thank you. And I was going to say the same for you, for sharing it. It's needed. Yeah.
Thank you. And then your number two. So first is seeing the clairs, trusting them. Number two, inner work time, which is the shadow and the inner child that we talked about. Getting someone to hold your hand. I love how you said that. And a healer you trust, a coach, a spirit guide, a healer, your team. That's everything, because not only do you have to trust yourself, but you have to trust the other person. Number one, to feel safe. And number two, to allow them to hold that space for you.
That's right.
And know that they can hold that with the right intentions. And then number three is following the breadcrumb trail. Like, now that you have developed this sort of intuition, I always say play with it. Like, have fun. Like, let this be your playground.
Yes.
And the question you pose, what makes you, what word, what feeling, what color? Like, if words don't resonate, right? I mean, that's why there's all these clairs. That's exactly what I tell my clients. Like, if the words don't come, like, don't think too much. Like, is there a color? Is there a symbol? Is there an animal, right, that comes to your mind's eye? And from that, following those breadcrumbs, even if it's Googling, like, ooh, I saw an elephant in my shamanic journeying. Well, what's the spiritual significance, of an elephant? And maybe you find something about Ganesha. Ooh, Ganesha, what is, that spirit guide? And maybe that becomes something that you practice in a ritual that you dabble into every day.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, I love it.
So how do you personally stay connected to all of this when life gets challenging?
Oh, that's the question, isn't it? Oh my gosh. So I'd love to say I journey every day, but I don't. I don't. I really that's wish hard. I did, but I'm in this stage of life of, I've got two small kids. I run two businesses. It's just, I homeschool. It's all the things. So not an excuse. It's just where I am. Right. So I really get to, and this is where I get to challenge myself, is how do I stay connected even with minimal time? And so I do prioritize my journeying. I try to do it at least once a week. More often, it happens about three times a week. But those are like my stabilizing moments. Those are when I get to go in. I get to work with my guides. I get to ask for help. Where do I need support? Where do I need guidance? How can you lead me? How can you guide me? How can you show me the way? But aside from those kind of staple moments during the week, it's really kind of the small moments in my day. So if I, get up before my kids, which happens most of the time, I go out and I see the sunrise, because I'm really into like habit stacking. So if I have, this practice I'm trying to develop with light, like I call it light hygiene, like really being careful about syncing my circadian rhythm to the natural cycles of the sun, right? So seeing the morning sunlight, seeing the evening sunlight, using blue blockers, the whole thing. I don't need to go into it, but so that's a habit I have. Well, I learned that I can pray while I'm watching the sunrise. So it's like no extra effort on my part. And it's a moment for me to stay connected and ground in and really establish like my connection line going to spirit. And I ask for support again. I ask for guidance. I say all the things I'm grateful for. I ask what I need help with. It's just a really beautiful moment for me to connect in. So that's those two big practices I have. And then it's a lot of little stuff during the week. So if I happen to have a moment to be in my garden, I'm also connecting to spirit that way. If I'm talking to my kids, we're talking about, you know, big, hard, scary emotions that are coming up. And we say, okay, how can we ask for support? How can we connect into spirit? Hey, let's call in our angels. Let's talk to our angels. Let's see what they have to say. Let's see what kind of support they can give us right now. So it's kind of all over. I don't have, you know, a huge long morning routine that I do. It's just kind of bits and parts and pieces during my day that I remember to connect in. And it's however is convenient and however it shows up in the moment.
Thank you so much for bringing light to that, because yeah, journeying is a really beautiful practice. And like I said, you led the Live Vibrant Sisterhood in that. And I got so much wonderful feedback, like people that were hesitant to even join my sisterhood because they were like, well, I'm not too woo-woo. And I know you're really into that. And what types of session are they? And I don't know if I'll fit in and I'll belong. And they gave me such beautiful feedback. Wow. Like somebody mentioned a horse and that's my spirit animal. And I never even realized that. And they received all these messages from that, right? Like following those breadcrumbs. And that's so beautiful. But then there's times where, you know, that was right. An hour plus that we had together and setting time for ourselves, which you do 2 to 3 times a week. But then there's those beautiful micro moments and this concept of habit stacking, right? For those of us that are busy, you run 2 businesses, you're a mom, you have a family, you have your own obligations, then your own self-care, right? And how do we balance, right, all of that? And so you bring in all these beautiful practices of habit stacking and small moments within your day where it's like you can go outside and be in the sun. And I love how you called it light hygiene. Mm-hmm. I practiced that too. As I told you right before the call, I went outside and I spent at least, you know, 20 minutes, half hour in the sun and then read my book. Sometimes I'll bring my cards out there and I'll pull cards. And just like you said, asking your spirit guides, you know, what message do you have for me or any guidance or any particular questions? You know, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? That sort of thing. And I think that while we know that, it's sometimes we forget to do that. We see everything sort of in silo. And so thank you again for bringing that beautiful reminder that it doesn't have to take that long. And in fact, in even just 5 minutes, sometimes I'll just go outside for even 30 seconds. I'll just close my eyes and I'll count to 30 and I'll just activate the clairs. What I see, what I feel. And then I'll open my eyes. And it's like this total moment of like, my whole nervous system just takes a deep breath and goes, and maybe I'll see something and maybe I won't. Right. And that's okay too. Yeah. But it's just knowing that it can be as simple as 30 seconds to tap into the divine. And I love how you even said you bring it into your life with your family, with your children, having a conversation with your kids, you know, about how they're feeling or what's bothering them. And okay, let's take this time and, you know, ask the angels and ask our spirit guides what guidance they have for you. Like what, I mean, I love my parents, but like, I wish my mom did that with me when I was a little one. Because children so often, right? And that's the inner child work, have all these emotions and big feelings and they just don't know what to do. They don't even know what they are. And so what a beautiful embodiment of you teaching that to your children. And that's again, another right simple way to just have a conversation with your children, be there for your family, but also tap into this beautiful higher sense of self, right? And connecting to the guides and the work that you do. It's just really beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I hope everyone's listening, if, you know, whether you have children or not, can see that you get to do this for you and it doesn't have to be this big old thing. You don't have to set aside an hour a day. It can be while you're washing the dishes, you're talking to God or your spirit guides or whoever.
Yeah. Yeah. Or being in your garden. I mean, anytime I'm at nature, I automatically equate that as time with the universe and time with my spirit guides and God, because, you know, to me, spirit lives in all of us, right? But it lives in nature, it lives in the trees and the wind and the grass. And that time always just feels like an otherworldly experience for me. But like you said, it doesn't have to be this big thing. It could be washing the dishes and just visualizing. I do that a lot of times in the shower, like washing away and sort of cleansing myself and then asking spirit universe to help cleanse this with me, like co-create with me in the shower. And so, I'm practicing hygiene. Like I have to take a shower, but I can also use that opportunity to tap into these beautiful practices. It doesn't have to be a whole big thing, or we sit for 2 hours and have a ritual and take our crystals out and make a grid and do all these things, which is beautiful, but it really can be simple too.
Yes, for sure.
Love it. What are some, if you're comfortable sharing, some of the beautiful things you've seen in your journey experiences, or is there anything that is like a highlight that you would like to share that you saw?
My gosh, there's so many of them. So many. Let me see. Well, I'll start with, like, you know, I get to witness a lot of client healings and stuff like that. And I won't go into it obviously for privacy reasons, but I've witnessed, like karmic relationships being healed and then like the contract being broken. And after that, you know, a client having a divorce being resolved with peace and harmony, and her like stepping into like her autonomy and her like self-confidence, and whereas previously she wasn't. So I've witnessed all kinds of things to do with that. I've witnessed people that had extreme phobias and fears of all sorts of things, water, planes, spiders, you name it, resolve those fears, because those fears originated either from this lifetime or from other lifetimes. And we were able to talk to that soul fragment and heal with them and bring them back and resolve the trauma and the fear. I've just witnessed so much. Let's see what else. The inner child work, it's incredible. I've seen women go from having, you know, very little trust in themselves due to childhood conditioning, like we were talking about before, to going on to trusting themselves and becoming psychics of their own and starting businesses and doing things that they never believed that they could do before. So, I mean, those are some of just like the massive transformations I've seen, and I've seen kind of the same stuff in my own life, but, if you want to get into the like the little bit more magical parts of it per se, I would say, you know, I've been able to go to realms and different worlds where it looks nothing like here. Like I've been to Pleiades, and I've been, you know, to the lower world and the upper world and the middle world and inner earth and all of these amazing places and met all sorts of incredible beings and beings that really want to help us and that have nothing but love and compassion and wisdom that they want to share with us. So there's so much that this work can offer. I hope that's just kind of like a little taste of what's possible, but really anything is possible with this work.
I love that. And I'm just sort of visualizing everything as you're painting this beautiful picture, first with the work of your clients and what you've witnessed, like in testimony, right? Karmic relationships being healed and then broken, and then going through divorce with a sense of peace. Or maybe it's a woman that, like you said, was broken from childhood conditioning, right? And then was able to take her own inner power and start her own business and become a psychic and a healer. Like that's really beautiful. And then the phobias piece, right? Going inward to learn where these phobias come from. And then you brought up from this life or from past lives. Mm-hmm. And then my curiosity sparked and wanting to know, how do you know? Or what? I know this is probably a really loaded question, but like, I love this concept of past lives, because a lot of times, and I'm just going to use myself as an example, I feel like there's almost other energies sometimes that permeate me that I know are not me. Mm-hmm. And I don't even feel like, and I've done a lot of the shadow and inner child work. Some is from this life, but some I feel like is from another realm, another life. Sometimes I feel like I'm in this world, but not of this world. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the first clue or breadcrumb that someone can know that it is from a past life versus this life?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, you know, going back to what we talked about earlier with developing your clairs so that you mm-hmm. get either that gut inner knowing of like, it feels like a past life. And I feel like most people have that of like, it's just kind of an inkling of, I think it is a past life. If you want to go deeper, like for me, when I'm looking at a client and I'm working with their guides, they show me, cause I'll ask, is it this lifetime or is it a past lifetime? And they'll show me it was, you know, age 8, this lifetime, or it was this past lifetime when they lived as a whatever, you know? So it's kind of nice to have that if you do work with, you know, a professional of like, they can tap in and figure that out for mm-hmm. you of like, this is what it is. And this is how we need to clear it. But if you're doing it on your own, I would say rely on that inner knowing, or whatever your strongest clair is. If you're clairvoyant and that's your strongest clair, ask and then close your eyes and see what you receive. See what images, what pictures, what symbols you get when you ask, is it from this lifetime or a past lifetime? And maybe your guides are going to show you your past lifetime. Okay. Or maybe they'll show you at age 4 and this trauma happened and then you get to resolve it.
That's beautiful. And even as you're saying it, I'm kind of thinking, does it even matter? Right? If it is to give you a specific message.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking of the sense like, did it happen when I was 4? Was it from a past life? Like, to me, channeling that message from the divine, it's like all encompassing. And I say it doesn't matter. I'm reading Deepak's book now, The Spontaneous Fulfillment of Desire. And that's what he says. It's like the concept of light years, like in the universal realm, like there is no concept of time, space, energy, motion. It's just, it's all one. Yes. So it's almost like the past and the present are one, mm-hmm. right? Like maybe, and this is, again, I'm going to get really trippy here, but like, maybe we already had this conversation before. Maybe this is like, you know, maybe like in the time that we think is 30 years, maybe it really was like a nanosecond in the right. universal time. But to us, we conceptualize and we've created all these systems of time, right? Chronos versus Kairos, chronological, Kairos, the divine time. And so kind of like, I don't know, sometimes I just get on that, that train of thought, like, does it really matter? Like I try not to get too logical because I feel like it ruins the beauty and the alchemy that happens here.
Oh, I totally get you. And I agree. I don't necessarily think it matters in the mm-hmm. details. Sometimes it's volunteers. Sometimes it'll just show up like, oh, you were 4 or you were 8 or whatever, or it was this lifetime. And then the information may or may not be relevant or important. It's the most important thing to me is always finding that aspect of you yes. that needs the healing so we can bring her back and work with her.
Yes. Know? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So from your experience, either yourself personally or with your clients, what usually gets in the way of us being able to, like, let's say there's someone listening, and I know because I have clients that ask me this question all the time. They're clairs and they're like, I'm not seeing anything, I'm not hearing anything, I'm not feeling anything. Like, what typically gets in the way of that?
Oh, yeah. This is like the number one thing that
yeah, yeah. I work
with all the time. Okay. Yeah. So, first biggest rule is expectation. Kills connection. Yes. It kills it.
Yes.
It automatically, if you're expecting anything, big or small, it shuts down your connection right away. So that's always my first piece of advice is to first relax. And second, go into whatever you're doing with a completely open mind. That way, whatever you receive. Okay. So I'll just use this as an example of a client I worked with a while ago. She kind of had a blocked, third eye, clairvoyance. Sorry, it took me a second. Clairvoyance. Okay. But she was very talented. She had a very strong gift of clairvoyance, and I could see it. I saw the gift. I saw the blockage. It was a whole thing. So I said, okay, let's go about this in a totally relaxed, easygoing sort of way. So we removed all the expectations, and I went in and I said, let's ask for, I forget the exact question. Let me see if I can come up with an analogy. It was something to do with, you know, a message she wanted to receive from her spirit guides. And we asked, can you show it in such a way that she'll notice it? Like something, let her notice something, right? Because before she would go into it and expect, well, I want to see, you know, the whole image. I want to see the hillside and the sun shining and the flowers and, you know, the whole thing. And so once we relieved that expectation, I said, find something that you can pick up. Do you know what she received?
What?
The color red.
Wow.
She received the color red. And it, to her, it wasn't a big deal. But to me, I thought it was incredible because she received something. Yes. It maybe wasn't what she thought she would, but it was something. And from that, she was able to develop it. And she worked with it over the weeks that we were, you know, working on this one particular thing. And it morphed into, okay, now she was actually seeing a rose, you know, and then it developed into more of like, what is that rose telling you? What's the symbolism of the rose to you? And from there, it just kind of evolved. So when you're doing this, start really, really small without expectation. What is the one thing I can receive? And maybe it's not even a sight thing. Maybe it's an audible thing. Maybe it's your clairaudience. Maybe it's one word. Or maybe it's a feeling. Maybe you just get a sense of a feeling of what they're trying to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like you said, and it's funny, I had this conversation with one of my clients just last week because she was feeling blocked. And I said, like, start really simple. Start with a word, a symbol, a color. Like, what's your dominant clair? And if anything, take out all the clairs and expectation, yeah, right, kills connection. And I remember you saying that to our sisterhood as well. In the very beginning of the session, you're like, surrender, like don't expect anything, because so many times in any spiritual practice, you know, people like, I don't meditate right. And, you know, journeying or any type of practice, journaling even, right? Like I stopped writing because I was like, oh, well, I know how I write when I'm my higher self. And then when I'm not, and it feels icky, it's like, ooh, I don't want to do that. Right. But it's actually those times I feel like we can go even deeper. If we start with what you said, ooh, then she did see a color. And it's funny because you said the color red and then a rose. And here I'm thinking like root chakra. I'm thinking of a chakra. Mm-hmm. So see there, we each had two different experiences, but then you said rose.
Yeah.
And then a rose again can seem like a simple, beautiful flower. But I thought of two things, my grandmother, who I'm very much like, and a dear friend of mine who passed away at a young age, whose middle name was Rose. And so again, that kind of made me warm and fuzzy. Like those are my angels and that they're here with me. And so it's like, that's again, a beautiful example of how we can start with something simple and just continue to follow the breadcrumbs and that trail into something deeper and deeper and deeper and just allow it to kind of just blossom organically.
Yeah. Right.
Like that to me is just such, like speaking of this podcast, alive, like that's what makes me come alive is like those types of experiences where it seems so simple, but it's just intricately beautiful if you continue to kind of like take the puzzle pieces and create this beautiful mosaic.
Yes, very well said. I love that. I love that a lot. And I think the other two things I was just thinking of that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that plays into, you know, blockages and not being able to access your clairs. And the other two big ones are attachment and fear. Fear is a big one for a lot of people, especially the clairvoyance. People are afraid of what they'll see, you know, and I was one of those people. Yeah. Yeah. So working through the attachment piece, being able to let it go, dropping back into that trust and faith piece, and working through those fears. Again, we're into shadow work and inner child work. And once you work through those three things, once you have those three things, those psychic clairs are just going to light up like you wouldn't believe. They really will.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for painting that picture. Yeah. So speaking of tapping into one of the senses, I know that in your past life or current life, it might still be a thing. You were a violinist, and that was your previous career. So speaking of music, right, and mm-hmm. clairaudience, how did that path lead you here? Was it connected at all? Tell us the story.
Good question. Yeah, I've been playing the violin for probably about 30 plus years now. And that was my, I do feel like it's past life at this point, but it was this current life. I was a professional violinist. I played in orchestras and played for churches and bands and all sorts of different gigs and taught. I had a big teaching studio. I taught over 40 kids at one point. You know, I am still figuring out how the two work together. And it's really funny because I've had probably at least, I don't know, 7-10 people close to me in my life saying they work together. They work together, like violin and spirituality. Like there's something that you get to do where they blend. I don't see it yet, but I know it's coming. Like I'm sure mm-hmm. that it's being worked out and I'm in the process of blending them. I still play the violin. I still do some of that work some of the time. My spiritual work seems to take up more of my time at this point, but I could see how at some point in the future that they would blend together.
Oh, absolutely. I asked you that because that's, I don't know if there is such a thing, but that's my soul instrument.
You were
one of the animal or a spirit instrument. Like uh-huh. when I hear the violin, my soul, like it takes me to another dimension. Like it makes me feel all these feelings I've never felt before. It's a beautiful release. And mm-hmm. so even just knowing the work you do, like I'm just visualizing you like maybe in a session, like playing the violin for a few moments instead of like meditation music or shamanic drumming and allow that to be like a beautiful release in a way that you can blend the two. So
I do. I love an idea. That. Thank you. You're one of my close people that have informed me that they see me doing that. So
I totally do. I didn't even have to close my eyes. I just saw it, you know, as you were talking, I can visualize with my eyes open. And I felt that because every time I hear the violin, it's like a cry, like a beautiful cry. Mm-hmm. And it like my whole body just, it's like a really somatic experience where I just feel like I'm able to cleanse and release like through the music. Right. And that's a frequency in itself, which is a healing modality as well. So tapping into different frequencies and anyways, just an idea and a thought.
Thank you. I love it. I do. I see it. I've had this idea for a while of playing the violin over like a drum track. Mm. So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. I'm not there yet, but I know it'll happen at the right time.
Of course. All in divine timing. All in divine timing.
Right.
Well, Destiny, I literally could talk to you for another hour. Like there's so many, this is just the kind of the tip of the iceberg of things I've always wanted to know about you or just the woman behind the curtain, because I know the magic and the work that you do with your clients and even with your kids and out in the world, in your personal life. But if you have just a moment for a few rapid fire questions, I would love to ask you. Well, before we get into that, what is the message or a mantra or anything you want to leave with the listeners?
Okay, let's see. What I would know about people in your community and people listening to you is that you're curious, you're open-minded, and you have this sort of seeking mentality where you're really seeking that thing that will, whatever it is, your connection, your healing, you know, whatever it is that you're seeking, you have that fire within you that you will keep going and seeking it until you find it. So I just kind of want to be your cheerleader in this and say, like, you are on the right path. You are doing all the right things. Keep going and listening to your intuition, because your intuition will guide you to that thing that you are looking for.
That's so beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks.
I felt very seen and heard, and I know my listeners will as well, because you know my community very well. This beautiful seeking mentality, like you have that fire within you, and keep following that, keep trusting that you're on the right path, which I think is always a beautiful affirmation for those of us that don't trust or have doubts, fears start to creep in. Just that mantra in itself, like you're on the right path, keep asking, keep following, keep just being curious and being open. And I feel like I always say when you ask the question, you always get the answer. It may not be in the exact moment or in the way that you think, but the answer will eventually be revealed just by asking the question.
For sure. Yeah.
Love that. Love that. All right. So now what is this? These are the rapid fire questions. What quote inspires your life and work?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I'm not much of a quote person. Nothing's really coming to mind for me for that. I'm digging deep here. No, I'll have to go into my journal because I write random things in my journal, you know? Sure. So yeah, sorry. I don't have anything for that one.
No. I'm actually thinking as I'm asking that, because again, that's tapping into like the logical mind. Huh. Maybe what's coming through you in this moment? Is there anything that's coming through you, a message for you personally, or a message that inspires you?
Message that inspires me. I think something along the lines of faith and releasing attachment. And I've been working a lot with those energies lately of where am I attached in life and how can I lean more deeply into my faith? So I think those are my inspiration right now.
And I love that concept of like attachment versus faith. That's really beautiful. Because again, faith is detaching from what is expected and just surrendering, right? To the divine, to what happens, like, and trusting that that will be exactly the experience that you need to have. Again, like you said so beautifully, like the expectation kills connection.
Right.
And in every session that I lead or just in any conversation, even in the podcast, you know, people are like, do you have questions? I'm like, I do, but I try to veer away from sending you that because like, to me, that kills the connection. Exactly. Like you said, like, I just want this free flowing and organic. And maybe you say a word or you tell a story and then that sparks another question in me. And I want to create that space to invite that in.
I love that. Yeah. I like letting go of the wheel.
Yes.
It's the releasing of the attachment so that more spirit can come in.
And I like that concept, letting go of the wheel. Which if you're driving, don't do that. I listen to podcasts when I drive. Don't let go of the wheel unless you have the auto drive or whatever, which I still get freaked out when my husband does that. Like when we're on the highway, the cruise control, I'm just like, and then he's like, "Wee, I have no feet. My hands are not on the wheel." And I'm like, oh my God, there's a car coming. He's like, don't worry, it'll brake automatically. I'm like, and if it doesn't?
Right. That's a little letting go for me, a little bit much.
That's exactly. Yeah. Attachment versus faith. Well, I don't know. My life is in my hands. So there's a part where we ask for spirit, but we also have to be a part of that, right? And not just say, oh, spirit's got me. You know what I mean? And just reckless. So
we still live in a 3D reality where we have to do human things. Yeah, exactly. For sure.
Exactly. Even though they have those self-driving cars now in San Francisco. I don't know if you've seen those, but last time we were there, you were on the road and it was like really freaky. Like there's nobody in the driver's seat and you just see a car moving like in traffic.
I don't like that.
No, I don't know if I like that either. That's another conversation, but yeah, I don't know if I like that either. It's like, the safety rating is, you know, better than humans. And I'm like, okay, but you know, that's a little bit rendering too much control to the machine. So
I grew up in the 80s. That's just a little too much.
Yeah, I did too. In fact, I just posted that I saw a funny meme and it was like, this was like cartoons in the 80s or something, or this was your Saturday morning in the 80s. Yeah. Oh my God, I had like goosebumps. I saw like the Smurfs and Rainbow Bright and Strawberry Shortcake.
Oh my gosh.
And it like that took me to another realm, like of being a kid.
For sure. Those were the good old days, right?
I know. Like, do kids even have that kind of experience today? Because they're so connected to their phones. And
good question.
But anyways, won't go off on a tangent there. Were there any books or book or books, book or books that have changed your life? Any authors you like or admire?
So many, so many. The first one coming to mind is The Anatomy of the Spirit by Carolyn Meese. That one is amazing. It's so pivotal. I have read it numerous times, and I remember reading it when I first started this journey, and it just kind of blowing my mind. But that one is a classic. I keep that one on my bookshelf. The other one that is new to me, but I freaking love it, is called The Happy Pocket Full of Money. Have you heard of that one?
I haven't, but I love the title. Oh,
Jessica, I think you would be obsessed. I'm going to send you the link because it is incredible. I read it and then I have to think about it for days. The concept.
I love those kind of books. I love those.
Yes. in a good way, not in the like painstaking, this is taking me forever kind of way, but like I read it once and then the author advises read it again and read it slow. And that's what I'm doing right now. And it's just the kind of book that is changing my brain, which any kind of book like that, I'm a fan of, you know?
Those types of transcending books that I love. Even as you said it, I'm like totally going to go buy one right now after our recording.
So good. I think you'll love it. I think you'll love it. Let's see what else. I think there's, what is it? Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza. Really good. Yes. That's another brain retraining, reprogramming book. Let's see if there's anything else. I think those are the big three that's coming to mind right now. I'm sure there's infinite more that I haven't even remembered at this point, but those are my favorites.
Oh my gosh. I love our synchronicity because I remember on the call, I picked the Mystical Shaman and I literally just got it. I'd never even opened it till that morning. And then you mentioned Alberto Villalobos and then you shared that prayer with us about the different, like the air, earth, the different elements. I think it brings it in there. And I pulled the wind card and then he literally speaks to the four directions. It was just really beautiful and synchronistic. But then just now, the first book you said, Anatomy of a Spirit by Caroline Mays. I'm literally looking bird's eye on my bookshelf. I've never read it. It's got that beautiful gold label with the lotus, the gold label. Mm-hmm. I was obsessed with this used bookstore over the summer called Thrift Books.
Because
a friend of mine, and the reason how I found it is because a friend of mine, it was another book about healing. And I don't remember the exact book. But I'm healing an autoimmune condition. And it was a book that was about that, but from a spiritual sense. And on Amazon, it was so one of those books that they probably ban or didn't want people to read because it had so much power to it. So it was like $40 or something on Amazon. Crazy. So I Googled and I found it on Thrift Books for $4.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about like 10 times less. So anyway, long story short, I earned like credits or whatever. And then I had this like $6 credit. And so I'm searching and searching. And something just in me just said, buy this book. And I don't know why, but now you mentioned it again. I'm like, well, now I'm going to have to read it because I'm sure there's, again, more breadcrumbs in that book. Like there was a reason that called me, like my angels, my guides told me to buy that book. And then you just said it now that it was one of those books that like change your life.
Now you've got the synchronicity of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. I love that. Any of the Carolyn Meese books I love.
Yeah.
She is such a wealth of knowledge. She really is.
She's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Happy pocket full of money. I'm going to have to tap into that.
Love it.
And then of course, Joe Dispenza, I love too. So thank you.
Oh yeah. He's great.
All right. Well, last question, being the Alive podcast, what makes you destiny come alive?
Oh, that's such a good question. I don't want to sound cliche at this, but I love healing work. I love it so much that I feel when I'm working with spirit, when I'm working in those realms and I'm connected and I'm helping someone, I feel alive for sure. Yeah. When I'm with my daughters, my husband, my family, when we're doing something outside, camping or kayaking or anything outdoors, I'm alive at that moment. Yeah.
Mm. Thank you. I love that. How can we stay connected to you? What do you have going on? Anything new coming up in your world?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there's a few things. So I'm going to leave with you, Jessica, a link for a free gift. And it's a little mini workshop for your listeners. All you have to do is get your email and your name in there and stuff like that. And I'll send out the link. It's a mini workshop based on those clairs that we talk about. So I give you an overview of the clairs and then how to connect and tap into them. And it also comes with a little mini journey on meeting your higher self. So we'll journey with your higher self. And that's my free gift to everyone that's listening. And then aside from that, I do have one of my favorite classes coming up that I teach. It's called Meet Your Spirit Guides. And it's a 7-week program where we go into meeting everyone that's on your team, starting with your higher self, of course, but then going into your main guide, the supportive guides, your angels, your power animal. Like, we just meet everybody. And this could be for the basic beginner has never worked with these beings before, or it can be with, you know, practicing meditators that work with them all the time. So we have a wide range of, you know, who we work with and how we work with them. And it's really fun. It's really fun. I love this class.
Beautiful. Meet your spirit guides. And then that beautiful free gift. Thank you so much for that. The free mini workshop on the clairs, which I'm glad we talked about that today. How to tap into journeying to your higher self. And of course, you're a valued guest teacher in our Live Vibrant Sisterhood. So thank you so much for everything that you shared here today with the sisterhood, with my community. Just really, really grateful for you, Destiny.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Jessica. This has been so fun. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode, I invite you to share the love with somebody in your world that really needs this message today. And if you're feeling extra generous, I would absolutely love if you would subscribe to my show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen and rate and review. Interested to know how this show has helped you come alive?